What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. The EA Sports College Football video game, the 2027 version of the game, 2026, whatever comes out in 2026, but it's out on July 2nd, and I think the full release for everybody is July 9th, so it's coming out very quickly here. There's an early release. I've played the game. I've messed around with the dynasty and stuff. The Arkansas player ratings just came out, and I want to see if I agree with where the rankings are for Arkansas, and maybe they got some things right, maybe they got some things wrong. We're also going to talk the latest roster building news, recruiting, transfer portal with baseball, basketball also. We're going to have Kevin Bohannon on the show as well. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about the stadium naming rights, Community America Razorback Stadium, a lot on the show. And since that show came out, it was released. Christina Long actually broke this, that the deal is $70 million over 13 years. That's $5.38 million a year, which is a good bit more than Hunter Yurecek even projected at $4 to $5 million. It's interesting, though, like, because Arkansas was kind of getting slammed by its own fans for this stadium naming rights deal. And people may still not love the name. I think it'll probably grow on you. But once that $70 million leaked out, everybody's like, okay, well, that's not so bad. You know, it's interesting how that figure leaks out. And then, you know, that's okay. Maybe we're not a budget program. Maybe we got things right here. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And kudos also for getting that. I mean, $5.38 million alone for the naming rights of that stadium is more than the basketball team brings in. That's more than the net profit for the basketball team. I think there were $4.4 million last year for the season for basketball. So it's a big deal to have that influx of revenue. So let's give credit where credit is due. I know people are hard on Hunter Yurecek and get frustrated and feel like he was late to the table and stuff. But, you know, if you did a good job, then you did a good job. And I think they did. Although a lot of people say, well, it wasn't Hunter. It was Learfield. It's fine. So Caleb Origu, a lot of people think – so – 6'10", 240-pounder, number 55 overall prospect in the country for the class of 2027. Looking like he's going to reclassify to the 2026 class. Arkansas obviously needs a big man, but he's visited Kentucky, UConn, BYU, and just wrapped up his official visit to Arkansas. And a lot of people think that Arkansas might be the team to beat. BYU made a big push on its visit, but this is from Travis Branham. While all of his visits went well, and BYU particularly making a push on their visit, one team exits his visits as the 24/7 Sports leader. John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks currently sit in the driver's seat for Origu's services. The Razorbacks already boast one of the strongest backcourts and perimeter groups in the country, but still have a need in their front court. Yes, they do. I really like this team regardless, but that would be a nice additional boost to this team. So that's where things sit right now. So Arkansas's football recruiting class right now is currently 30th nationally. They have 23 commitments. They have four four-star commitments, Keith Richmond, Elijah Shaw, Keith Richmond is an edge rusher. Elijah Shaw is an offensive tackle. Odefe Aruru is an offensive guard center type. And Jabari Watkins is an athlete who will play wide receiver. So those are the commitments right now. Alvin Mosley just picked Ole Miss. Looked like Arkansas might have had a chance there, but didn't get him. And so it's not a bad recruiting class. We talked a little bit about the strategy that Arkansas probably needs to use. It looks like they're using that strategy in recruiting. We know they want to sign a full class. Right now they have 23. What is a full class? I think most of us think about 25 players. But we know that's their intention to sign a full class. But you cannot put, if you're Arkansas, a ton of your money in. And I see in the comments, go sign some more four-star recruits. You cannot put your money into recruiting at that level when you have needs and you have to have guys that are ready to play. And it's difficult to invest in players that are generally going to sit the bench a couple of years while they develop and may never play for you, versus going out and getting a guy who may be going into his third year, who hasn't done a lot in college yet, but has been working in a college weight room, is on the verge of making an impact, and you can still get a kind of a deal on that guy, and he's ready to play for you. If you're Arkansas and you're not dealing with a $40 million budget like some teams out there are, it just makes a lot more sense to approach it that way. And then hopefully, you know, you find some diamonds in the rough. You got six offensive linemen committed in this class, you know. So anyway, I think that's the strategy for Arkansas right now. The way recruiting is going, it's not that different than it was pre-NIL transfer portal era. 4 4-star recruits, a lot of, you know, high-end 3-stars. That kind of stuff. So I just think that's the right approach. Arkansas's basketball, we haven't talked – I don't think we talked about this, but the home and away SEC matchups for Arkansas basketball came out. Home games are Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, and Oklahoma. And then you have away games at Alabama, at Kentucky, LSU, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. I mean, it's kind of old news. We just hadn't talked about it yet since it came out. I think the day that maybe the last show came out, the 25th, if that's right. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. We're going to get to the player breakdowns here in just a second, but I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Biddle Armstrong. I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy, call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way, so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owner's insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. Okay, so we're going to get to K-Bo here in just a little bit also. But I want to go over the player rankings for EA Sports College Football. Arkansas is like an 80-something. I think they're still tweaking some of the things because I've seen Arkansas come out as an 80 overall, 81 offense, 81 defense, or something like that. I was just scrolling through something, and I saw they were an 84 on defense. So I think some things are still getting tweaked. I know that they will incorporate more players eventually because I have noticed some players are missing that are on the roster. So July 2nd is the early access. So that's if you have the MVP Plus bundles, basically buying the deluxe version of Madden and EA Sports College Football. July 6th is the 3-day early access. That's if you buy the deluxe edition of college football. And July 9th is the wide release for everyone. I enjoy playing this game. I've enjoyed it since I was in college I guess that's when it came out. I can't remember when it came out exactly. But back then, like recruiting, I like the roster building. You know, I like the dynasty modes of it. But back then, it's like you would be like, okay, I need a running back. So you like check the box of the positions that you wanted to bring in or emphasize, and then you just get a running back. And then they started doing, you know, more in depth with like going out and recruiting players and stuff. And now in this iteration of the game, it's going to be you have a budget. And with that budget, you have to allocate some to your facilities. You have to allocate some to hiring assistant coaches, and they have different attributes and stuff that you want to bring in, or different nutrition stuff, like different strategies within your program, your NIL budget for recruiting, for retaining your players, for the transfer portal. You have to manage all of that stuff. I think that's fun. That's the part of the game that I really enjoy. Obviously, I'm in this line of work where you're building rosters and stuff all the time. So I enjoy that aspect of it. My wife does not share the same affinity for it. I hear all the time, like, you're a 48-year-old man. Why are you playing video games? But it's college football, and it's what I do, and I enjoy it. I'm in a 32-man dynasty league. So I do enjoy the game. Let's see. So let's look at cornerback. You've got, I think they got this right. They've got Joker in an 83 and Lakai Rowland at a 78. They're the two highest rated cornerbacks. They came out of spring, in my opinion, as your top two cornerbacks. They also had Braden Lee and Shelton Lewis, the next two guys, which I think that's accurate. I might have put Joker a little bit higher than an 83 just because he was, you know, a very well-regarded recruit. But Lakai Rowland at a 78 is a little bit low, but I don't have a huge problem because they got the order right. And I want to see the right players out on the field. Where I have a problem is safety. Carter Stoutmeyer is an 83 overall. Nothing against Carter Stoutmeyer. But Carter Stoutmeyer is, first of all, a nickel, and he's the backup nickel. He's your backup nickel currently. Christian Harrison is a 76 overall. He's the fourth best safety on the team. So, which means he probably doesn't even start for you. I don't like that. He's your probably, at least coming out of the spring, I felt like he's your best safety, and they've got him as your fourth best safety. So I don't like when, you know, I understand the player ranking side of things, but I want to see the players that are supposed to be out there on the field. Bradley Shaw is only an 81, which is maybe a hair low, but the real issue I have is Kamori House is a 77. Kamori House was a four-star transfer. He was the leading tackler at North Carolina last year and a team captain, and they only gave him a 77 overall. He's barely above Ben Bogle, who is a 76 overall. Jaquavion Smith, who started every single practice in the spring, is a 74 overall. He's one of your lower-ranked linebackers. So, like, he's not going to be on the field because you're not going to use the lower, like, ranked linebacker, even though he should be starting. And Kamori House, who's, you know, which they still have this kind of stuff, like, listing guys at linebacker. I don't understand why they list players at left linebacker, or, you know, like, Kamori House should be, like, I don't know. There should be a different position for him. But 77 overall is, that's not right. I don't have huge gripes on the defensive line. I think Hunter Osborne is probably your best defensive tackle, but he's a 77 overall, and David Oakey's an 81 overall. I think Osborne's your best defensive tackle, and the group overall is pretty lowly ranked. Maybe EA should just talk to me. Like, Trey, what do you think about where these are ranked? You can rank them wherever you want, but I just want to get the right players on the field. And they've got it jumbled up a little bit to where I don't think it's going to be that way. But I also feel like defensive tackle – is probably the area, maybe the defensive line as a whole, I should say, is probably the area that they've improved the most on from last year to this year, based on what I've seen. But you wouldn't know that, and they're missing players. There's players that are on the team that aren't listed right now, and I guess maybe they'll be integrated later. I don't argue too much with defensive end because they've got Quincy Rose is a 90 overall, which is a fair ranking for him. But they've also got Charlie Collins, Jamonte Waller, and Steven Solt all listed at defensive ends. And really, I feel like they should be listed maybe as a Sam linebacker or something like that, like because they're those hybrid types. They're not the same as some of these other guys that are listed as defensive ends. Left tackle spot, they got it backwards. They have – so Kavion Broussard came out of spring, started spring and came out of spring as a starting left tackle. He's a 74 overall. The same as Josiah Clemens, who is his backup. And below Terrence Robertson, who was, you know, probably the third left tackle and has since moved to backup left guard. But Terrence Robertson is going to end up starting at left tackle, and that's great and everything, but that's not how it came out of the spring. You know, Broussard is the higher ranked guy. So that's interesting. And Bryant Williams is probably, you know, projected to be your best offensive lineman since he was a four-star transfer addition. But he's only the third best offensive lineman on the team. I'd argue that Jaden Platt at tight end deserves a higher ranking than 80 overall. You know, he started 12 games for him last year, 11 of 12, I think, last year. But maybe a guy that does have next level ability. I feel like he's a little bit low. Jamari Hawkins came out of the spring as the backup slot behind Ismail Cece. Cece is a 77 overall. Hawkins is an 85 overall. So again, that's nothing against Hawkins, and he may emerge and end up being the best slot option. But I just find that interesting that your backup is rated higher than your starter. Donovan Faupel, who was the backup flanker out of the spring behind C.J. Brown, Faupel is an 83 and C.J. Brown is a 79. So you've already got two of your wide receivers wrong. As far as like how the season probably is going to start out. And then Chris Marshall, and again, you know, these are ongoing competitions and everything, but I'm just telling you how things came out of the spring based on what I saw. Chris Marshall is the third best wide receiver on the team behind Faupel and Jamari Hawkins, and he's probably going to be their go-to wide receiver. Antonio Jordan's not even on the game. He's not even listed. Don't have a big problem with running back. You got Russell as an 86, Sutton Smith as a 85. And it's fair to put, you know, Cam Settles as a 75 and Parker as a 75. You know, they haven't really done anything yet and they're younger, so they'll, you know, continue to grow and stuff. But I don't know why EA still calls it halfback. Why don't they just call it running back? They killed him on quarterback. And maybe they'll be accurate, and Arkansas won't have a very good quarterback. But KJ's a 74, and A.J. Hill is a 72. And they're almost unusable. No quarterback on the roster has an 80, above an 88 arm strength. I mean, like 90 is kind of like the minimum that I would ever play with a guy. Hank Hendricks is a cut. You're going to cut Hank Hendricks because they made him a 63 overall, unless he's like elite development, but he's – probably not as a 63 overall. So you'll get to the end of this season and a guy that, you know, people may think is the future starting quarterback at Arkansas one day, you'll just cut Hank Hendricks because he's ranked so low and he's never going to be a good player. So anyway, yes, I enjoy the game. I find it interesting when they come out with the player rankings and stuff and all that. All right, let's go to Kevin Bohannon here. K-Bo, if you're ready. Kevin joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline. If you're looking for fast, consistent, reliable internet service, check out our friends at Ozarks Go, ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G. You can call them at 479-684-4900 where you speak to a local person also. K-Bo, how's it going?
It's going. We're wrapping up the portal. Well, last day to go in the portal is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can add and subtract, you know, kick kids to the curb, which will happen, unfortunately. Some unassuming high schooler out there thinking they're going to be moving in their dorm at their brand new university, and they're going to get a call about 2 weeks before saying, sorry, kid, we don't have room for you. So that's the unfortunate part of this business. Yeah. But plenty to look out for the Razorbacks this week. We are watching three names. Look out for, obviously, Thomas Allen. I'll let that little nugget of information go last Friday on X, that it's looking good for Arkansas. There have been some stories that come out and people on other 24/7 message boards, and those writers have said, well, it's between LSU, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Well, LSU fumbled, didn't really get the hometown discount they were thinking. It's between Mississippi State and Arkansas. As of 1:20 on Monday afternoon, I'm still sticking to my story. That the last time I checked with my sources, it was still Arkansas was in really good shape. Then it's Bristol Carter from Auburn, the center fielder. He visited last Monday and still has not made a decision yet. Could wait till after the draft, see what happens with Zeb Allen, or he could commit beforehand and just let it play out. Dave Van Horn said on the press conference last Thursday that they do have resources, they do have money now. They can compete with everybody else that's out there offering.
That's great to hear.
pro money on the NIL front. And that's where you and I thought they would have to make up the deficit from the revenue sharing aspect of it. And they've done it. Thank goodness.
The other way.
Yeah.
Make it up in NIL.
Yeah.
The revenue sharing money wasn't there.
Yeah. It wasn't there. So Van Horn, when they went to boosters and some donors got together and said, okay, whatever you need, we're going to get you taken care of. And they've been spending it. If they can outbid Mississippi State, LSU for Thomas Allen, that's going to show it that Van Horn can put his money where his mouth is. The third one is a new one. Manny Marin from Tennessee, the infielder, hit 9 home runs, 43 RBIs. I think he is a very good insurance policy. If Dawson Bryce from Charlotte gets drafted and chooses to sign, which that may be the case, but Marin could also start over any of those guys. I think he's a really good pickup. He's a sophomore from Tennessee. That will be the three that we have on commitment watch this week.
Yeah. Well, that's real encouraging to hear, because we know, like as we were talking during the football coaching search, when Juracek was meeting with boosters, that was one of the topics that he talked to them about, like not having – and it's obvious last year's roster was not financially competitive with some of the other schools out there. We know of players that Arkansas lost and wasn't even close on. So it's good to hear that the boosters answered the call on that, because – that was the only way to get there, because the revenue sharing wasn't there. And they made it, you know, he made it clear, like, Dave Van Horn has to be supported. And the word that I'd gotten out of that was everybody was in agreement. Now, being in agreement and actually following through and ponying up are two different things. So good to hear that, that's the case. So is that's it? That's what we're waiting on. And this thing's a wrap, or?
Yeah, I mean, there may be another arm. You never know what happens. The biggest thing is, Dave Van Horn said last Thursday, is nothing. None of this is final, guys. You know, there are six out of the 12 that are draft eligible that are already committed to Arkansas out of the transfer portal, plus all the high school guys and the JUCO guys. So it'll see what happens in, you know, 12 days. July 11th, 12th, and 13th is the MLB draft. Right after that, we'll have a really solid idea of what the starting lineup could look like for 2020.
Who are we really watching in the draft?
As far as portal guys, I would say Zeb Allen, Dawson Bryce. Those are two that I've heard from scouts on. Guys on our message board seem to think the same thing. But scouts that I've talked to say those are the two. Mike Malky from California Baptist. Mm-hmm. WAC pitcher of the year. Kind of keep an eye on him as well. Maybe Chris Diaz, the Florida Gulf Coast commit that came out last week. Those are the ones I'd really kind of keep an eye on. And then obviously Carson Wiggins. That's the one that everybody's wondering about what's going to happen. Right now, I still think he signs and goes pro. We shall see.
We shall see. Okay. You play this college football video game?
Yes, absolutely I do. And Jordan Anthony was unbelievable out of the slot last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would move Jordan Anthony because he was a gadget also, and you could move him to running back.
Yeah.
And so I would
move him. He won the Heisman twice with me.
Yeah, sweet, well, man. They don't have a 99.99 speed platinum shifty guy, but Jelani Watkins is going to be like a 97.99 speed.
Yeah.
He'll be like a 70. It'll be just like, you know, just like Anthony was, who wasn't even on the team last year.
I know. I'm right.
But, yeah, he'll be just like him, basically. So, yeah, your wife loved the game?
She knows about it. That's about it.
My wife is not a fan.
Yeah. My wife and I met with our, you know, one thing we had in common when we met was our love for the Packers. So, she does have a football mind, and she does know what she's yelling at the TV. So, she gets it.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Cabo. Appreciate you hopping on. We'll talk to you Thursday, get a little more detail.
Thanks, Trey.
Okay. All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Follow him at Cabo Baseball Guru on X. Read his content at Hawg Sports, HAWGSports.com. Okay. We'll get to some questions here in just a second. Hey, Blakeman's is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers, and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you also know you can shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? And they offer delivery. Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, visit them at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers or at blakemansfinejewelry.com. Okay. Questions? Let's see what we got here. Show started a little bit later today. I wasn't feeling really good when I woke up this morning, so everything got backed up just a little bit. Big DC 77, Trey, with SEC Media Days coming up, who do you think will be taken with Coach RC to speak with the media? Go Hogs. I'm booked for that trip. I'll get there, what is it, the 19th or the day before? I can't remember, but I'll be there for the entirety of SEC Media Days this year. Just there's so many new coaches, you know, that – like in the past, last year I didn't go. Why didn't I go last year? Last year I didn't go. It was the first time in a long time I didn't go. The year before that, I flew in the morning of because Arkansas was going and then flew out that night. I just came in and out. It was in Dallas that year. This year it's in Tampa. So who do you take? I think you take Quincy Rhodes. I mean, it's a really interesting question because, like, do you take your quarterback? Is Ryan Silversfield the kind of guy that takes seniors only? I think this day and age, it's very different. But I think Quincy Rhodes is kind of a no-brainer. I could see a Caden Kittler. Like, do you take guys who were on the team last year? Because that certainly narrows your field. If you take guys that were on the team last year, Quincy Rhodes, Caden Kittler, maybe KJ Jackson. But you also got to – if you take KJ Jackson, then you're basically saying he's your starting quarterback. So it's not going to be KJ Jackson. We can eliminate KJ Jackson from going to SEC Media Days because that is naming him the starting quarterback if you do that. And there's supposed to be a competition that continues on through fall camp. So we can eliminate him. Wide receiver, is there anybody? Maybe CJ Brown. You know, he's a guy that's a returning starter. Jaden Platt is a returning starter from last year's team. Bradley Shaw could be a possibility. He started, I think, 7 games last year. He's your starting middle linebacker. There's really nobody back in the secondary other than Miguel Mitchell. It's an interesting, like, do you take Braylon Russell? I mean, Braylon didn't, you know, he's not really a returning starter. Very good chance he could be your starter this year. So it's anybody's guess, I think. If my parameters are taking guys that are seniors and were on the team last year, Quincy Rhodes, Caden Kittler, Jaden Platt, maybe. That's nothing against those guys, but you want to bring, you know, you want it to be a little more sexy, like a little more flash, a quarterback or a skill guy, you know. If you're going to bring a couple of defensive players and you need to bring a quarterback and they don't have – they can't really bring a quarterback because that's naming the starter. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to come up. I do it every year. I come up with my best guess at who they will bring and usually get pretty close to nailing it. What is your player rating? What player rating surprised you the most? I would say, let's look at it real quick. Well, I think that Jaden Platt is too low, is an 80 overall. Chris Marshall being the third best wide receiver is probably a big one. Carter Stoutmeyer being an 83 is a backup. A lot of them did. I mean, I think they got a lot wrong on how they ranked these guys. Yeah, I think they just got a lot wrong. And I like Braylon Russell. I need speed at running back. He's not going to be fast enough for me. Unless he's got, like, gold trucking or something. Hunter Osborne could have been ranked higher, I think. Yeah, a lot of them. I'm sorry to say that. Like, I hate when people don't just give an answer. But Chris Marshall is the third best wide receiver. And maybe Jamari Hawkins being an 85 overall. Nothing against Jamari Hawkins. Like, I hope he does great and shows out and surprises everybody. And you're like, oh, man, this guy. If someone, this is from Paul Finehog. We always get these crazy ones. If someone enters your home, holds you down for 5 minutes and tickles you and leaves, they don't hurt you or take anything. Are you calling the police or filing a police report? Is this, did you ask this question last time? Also, top five golf courses you have ever played. You know, I've not played a lot of great golf courses. So it would be a very unimpressive list. I want to remedy that, but yeah, I couldn't even give you a good list that you'd be like, oh, that was really good. I want to do better at taking golf trips and getting out and playing great courses around the world and stuff. But I don't know. It's probably like Bali Holly or whatever in Vegas might be the best one I've ever played, you know, so nothing too extraordinary. Hogtalica says, do you think that every penny of the money from the stadium naming agreement should go to Razorback Football NIL? I sure do. No, I don't, because I also know that the football program needs money. So part of it, yes, I think a large chunk of the Tyson NIL, you know, the Tyson patches are going towards NIL. Like a significant amount of that money is going to player NIL. So they still need things. Like, they really need to expand the Fred W. Smith Center. They need to change some things with that facility. I would like to see, they need bigger office space, first of all. And I mentioned this on the last show, like if you look at like the head coach's office, I remember the first time I ever went in there was when Pittman was hired. I don't know if I'd ever seen it before then, like in person, but it is not a gigantic office. I mean, it's probably one of the smaller offices in the SEC. Not that that's a huge deal for everything else, but like you look at Texas Tech and he's got like he basically has an apartment for an office. But you know, they've got a lot of the other things that you need, but I've mentioned, you know, they need to be eating in that facility. Like the football team should dine in that facility together. And they can. It's set up to where they can do that if stuff's catered in, but just like regular eating, like, you know, when they go in and go through the line and get their food and stuff, they need to be able to do that in-house in 2026 in the SEC. I would be willing to bet that almost every other team does that in the conference. You know, so there's things like that. And, you know, they built that facility with the idea that they would have 9 assistant coaches. And since then it went to 10 and then has basically gone unlimited. Now they have 13 assistant coaches. You need more space. The recruiting department isn't even housed in the football operations facility. Like that's a problem to me. You need everybody in there together. So yes, I do think that some of this money should go to NIL. Some of it should go to the university and hopefully eventually put towards enhancing some of those facilities, enhancing the game day environment. I mean, to me, like if you're going to rename this stadium, Community America Razorback Stadium, when all that stuff goes on there for game one in 2027, there needs to be LED lights around that stadium. It needs to be enhanced in some kind of way like that. Like some of the money that goes into naming that stadium should also be put back into enhancing the stadium and the game day atmosphere. And maybe that means hiring more people to enhance the game day atmosphere also, but also, you know, you just need LED lights. I'm like, who cares about LED lights? I get it, but like it makes a difference on game day. It livens things up. You can bring the crowd alive pretty quickly with that kind of stuff. Razorback in NYC says, where do you rank our fall 2026 roster among the SEC? That's Razorback, you ask a lot of really good questions, but it's very difficult to tell just what everybody else has, because what I can tell you on what I see when I look at this roster is a roster that has the potential to be competitive in this conference in terms of depth, in terms of personnel. It has the potential to be that. I also would expect that everyone else has a roster that has potential to be competitive at minimum in this conference. It comes down to quarterback, and people may say that's a scapegoat for me or something, but I truly believe that Arkansas coaches don't know for sure what they have at quarterback, that I don't know what they have at quarterback, and nobody else really knows. And probably the players themselves don't really know if they've got what it takes. I think KJ Jackson is your best bet there, but he's never been put in a moment where the game is on the line and he has to go out and win it. Never been put in that situation. So you don't know if you have a guy who's ready for that stage until he's on that stage and proves that he's ready for that stage. You just don't know. If you could pick one former Hog from the last 10 years to have for fall 2026, who would it be? One former Hog. So I would go back to 2016. So that rolls off Brandon Allen at quarterback. You guys might think I'm crazy, but 2016, one former Hog. I mean, I honestly might go, 2021 KJ Jefferson. I might go Talon Green in this offense. Like, I really think this offense is so much better suited for a guy like Talon. And if you have a coaching staff that really emphasizes taking care of the football with him, I mean, you think about, too, like the way Talon started out. I mean, he had a pretty strong start to the season. So I would maybe go KJ or Talon for this team. And that's nothing against KJ. He may end up being KJ Jackson. He may end up being as good as those guys. But we don't know, and we do know that those guys can make plays. That may be a crazy answer, and you may say, like, why wouldn't you take, you know, somebody that's in, you know, that got drafted in the NFL? But I feel like the roster is good enough everywhere for them to be able to compete, and it comes down to quarterback. If you could have one additional staffer that doesn't have ties to Arkansas, and is realistic, not hiring an NFL head coach as a QB coach, et cetera, who would it be and why? One additional staffer. I like need to write these down. Razorback NYC always asks really tough questions. Good questions, but tough ones. Who would I add and why? I mean, I really have to think about that one. I'm gonna save these, if you don't mind, and maybe for the next show, I might answer these with a little bit more thought. And thank you for making me think on those. But I can't. I mean, I just sit here with a blank stare for the rest of the show thinking about those questions. So we will get back to those. Hey, Bet Saracen, if you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250, and you sign up and you put $25 down on your first bet, you'll get $250 back in bonus bucks to use at Bet Saracen. So pretty sweet deal. Rules apply, but a lot of stuff to bet on right now. You still got World Cup stuff, Brazil, Japan, Germany, Paraguay, Netherlands, Morocco, a lot of fun soccer going on if that's your thing. And, MLB. You can even bet on some futures for football. Some early games, early betting lines are out for that. So go to Bet Saracen, the local guys, Arkansas's number one sports betting app.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident. It's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
Grills and Blackstones. I mean, it's that time of year. You should be out grilling and stuff. We have a Blackstone This is from Web11. He's asking about it because he's thinking about what he needs to do. We have a Blackstone, and we very rarely ever use our grill anymore. I think the Blackstones use it is worth it just for the fried rice alone, but you can do pancakes, you can do burgers, whatever else you want on that. All kinds of different concoctions. I thought about doing a bunch of breakfast burritos and like freezing them. Like, I don't know. Have you ever done the thing where you like, you take a breakfast, you take some egg and you put it down on the griddle or in the pan and you start cooking it. And then you take the tortilla and you put that just on top flat. And then, you know, you cook it like that and then you flip it on the other side to where the flour tortilla is on the griddle and it gets all crispy and everything. You put some avocados in there. You put some salsa or some onions, some bell pepper, some onions and stuff in there. Roll it up, saran wrap it, put it in the freezer. There's an idea for you. Anyway, I go Blackstone. If he's debating between grill and Blackstone, I find so many uses and applications for the Blackstone. I wanted to hear what everybody else thinks on that too. And if you got any good Blackstone recipes, I'd love to hear those as well. Okay. See if we got any more questions here. I know we got some comments coming. Nope, Razorback in NYC had the last group of questions. And T Strong says, this is the content I needed to see, Biddy. I'm pretty apathetic on the Hogs right now, but I will bring us back to prominence in college football 27. Yeah, I mean, let me move this real quick. That's your opportunity to save Razorback football. I'm not apathetic. Like, I still think that there is hope, and I like to cling to hope a little bit. And, you know, a lot of times it just crushes my soul, and I'm fine with that because I don't like going through life, as I say, like a zombie. I like the human condition, you know, getting hurt, bouncing back, you know. I hear a lot of people say they're just going to hurt me again, you know. But, I mean, that's just part of living, right? You get hurt. So I think if they have a quarterback, there's a chance that they could have an enjoyable football team. I think that Ryan Silverfield kind of puts off a vibe that he's, you know, just like all shucks and, you know, coach speak. I think behind the scenes he's a lot more calculating than he puts off. There used to be a skit on Saturday Night Live ages ago. It was Ronald Reagan, and he was just like, you know, a kid would come into the Oval Office and he'd be like, hey, how you doing? You know, you want to get your picture taken? And then they'd close the door and he'd be like, you know, he'd be like, his eyebrows are lower, and he's like, all right, back to it. We got problems in our end, you know, all this kind of stuff. Silverfield's kind of like that, I think, based on, like, not just my interactions with him, just talking to him, but what I hear from other people that have, you know, gotten to know him a little bit behind the scenes and stuff. So I think that's a good thing. You know, I think you want to portray yourself a certain way, obviously. Not that he's not that. I don't mean like there's this drastic difference like I was just portraying with Ronald Reagan. But I'm just saying, like, you know, he puts off a very, like, when you ask Ryan a question at a press conference about a specific player, he's going to give you the answer that, you know, everyone is doing well. He's not going to, like, single out a single player and give you the answer that you really want. You know, he's going to kind of answer the question the way he wants to answer it, you know, which is very, you know, common among coaches. Razorback Pride says, imagine if the boosters and the AD said that football program needed to be funded after the first season that wasn't the best season instead of waiting 7 years later to find it. Yeah, they were definitely, you know, one of the biggest things I think is a fair criticism on Hunter Yurecek is the lateness at which they got NIL where it was going. One, Arkansas was an utter failure. Arkansas Edge was a failure. And, I think that they've got the link you figured. I think they've got it right finally with the link you. So that is encouraging. But yes, they did not capitalize on that 2021 football season like they should have. And other programs did, and they separated themselves from Arkansas. And the more NIL got involved over the years, the worse Arkansas's program came out of it. And, you know, we can point fingers to Sam Pittman, but it's not all on Sam. Like, the guy was hired for a different job that he got and then was not supported for that job. You know, even if, like, we like Sam definitely had his faults, but we never got to see what he would actually be with support. You know, I mean, heck, Les Miles was successful at LSU because he had players behind him. You know, you put Les Miles in at Arkansas and probably not nearly as successful, you know. So a lot of it's just like what you have behind you in terms of support. And Sam just didn't have that. So there were things obviously that needed to be fixed aside from a coaching change that needed to be fixed with Arkansas. And unfortunately, a lot of it is about money. Mr. Beam says, the Walton family sucks. We should stop advertising Walmart inside the stadium. They aren't all in on the football program. I mean, they pay to advertise in the football, so their money's still good. I mean, like, yeah, we'd love for them to get more, you know, instead of investing in the Chicago Bulls, like investing more in Arkansas, sure. But they do give, and they support the area. It's just, you know, we see things, I guess, differently in terms of the importance of successful football in this region, you know, and they're big on developing. Like what they've done in Bentonville is outstanding. It really is. They have transformed Northwest Arkansas with the things that they've done. And then, you know, the impact of Walmart that it's had on the area, Rogers and, you know, Rogers, like the way I look at Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, you know, Bentonville now is very bougie. They've got, you know, nice restaurants and hotels, and it's expensive as hell to live there now. But Bentonville is a very cool area. It is really something special. And that's credit to, you know, Alice and the Waltons, Walmart, all that stuff. Rogers feels a little bit more corporate-y to me. Like, you know, I don't know, you go to the Amp and you see, you know, like Kellogg's and General Mills and, you know, those offices and all that stuff around there. You've got the Amp, you've got Top Golf. It just feels a little bit more like, not Dallas, but like Little Dallas, you know what I mean? Like just more that kind of vibe. Fayetteville, I don't even know what Springdale is, but Springdale is just kind of its own thing. But Fayetteville's just become, it's very, local, you know, like local restaurants and stuff. Like they didn't really want Top Golf or the Amp, which I think was a mistake, but it's just more local vibe and college town, I guess. But like Fayetteville, we have some good restaurants, don't get me wrong, but we don't have the level of restaurants that Bentonville has. Not even really close in terms of the especially the just nicer established, like Junto, that sushi restaurant over at the Motto Hotel. I mean, that place is outrageous. Like, and there's a ton of places like that in Bentonville. I don't know why I even got off on that tangent, but yeah, Fayetteville's, all these towns up here, and it's what, 650,000 people in this area, and I think they say in 10 years, it's going to be like 1 million people up here. Why did I get off on that? Oh, the Walton family sucks. The Walton family doesn't suck. They just, we wanted to be more involved in football and understand that football success raises all ships. You know, it is the front door to your university. I've made the point several times that the reason that Alabama has more national merit scholars on their campus than any other college in the country is because people want to go to a school and have that experience of following a really good football team. That's why national merit scholars go to Alabama. And one reason you don't have near as many at Arkansas. It's a long play. Having a good football team attracts higher quality students. Nothing against our students currently. Razorback Pride says, would it be cool to have LED lights? Yeah, but playing one game at night isn't worth the money right now. Well, let's look at the schedule. Because there's an opportunity for several night games this year. So, first of all, Tulsa's at night. That's one. Tennessee could be at night. It's October 10th, so it's not going to be super dark till later, but it's a 2:30 to 7 p.m. flex window. The Missouri game is 2:30 to 7 p.m. That's October 31st. We're still daylight savings time then. Is daylight savings time over? Should be over by November 14th, right? There's a 2:30, 7 p.m. flex time for South Carolina. So that is going to be in the at dark sometime. You know, the second half of the game or the start of the game will be dark. And then, that's it. So you do have a few opportunities for night games. So it could end up just being the one, though. You're right, with the daylight savings time thing. But, it adds something to it, in my opinion. You take Austin Allen. Yeah, Austin Allen was a good quarterback in 2016. He was not as good as KJ was in 2021 or 2022. I mean, KJ was still good in 2022. I mean, KJ had one of the highest QB efficiency ratings in program history. You know, I would take nothing against Austin, but I would take KJ that year over Austin's year in 2017. 2017, Austin got hurt and the season kind of tanked. 2016, he was a starting quarterback. Yeah, KJ was a dog in 2021. A lot of people saying KJ Jefferson. Yep, prime year. You're supposed to have all the answers, Trey. I don't have all of them. I got a lot of opinions. Mr. Beans, how are you going to put down that booster gives millions of dollars? Yep. Speaking of college football, 27, the Arkansas live streamer media folks, who you have 1v1 and who do you want to play? What? Not sure what you're saying. I'm only putting them down because their lack of support on the football program. They do good. I mean, again, their logo is on the field and in the stadium, and they pay to do that. All right. I think we nailed it. Hey, if you haven't signed up at the Back Nine, you should go to theback9golf.com. Is that the right one? The back? Yeah, theback9golf.com. And you can select, you can scroll over Arkansas, Fayetteville. You can book a demo. They have 4 hitting bays, and they're the full swing simulators, the best in the business. Those are probably, I would bet they spent about $60,000 per hitting bay. They've got lasers pointed at the screen. Like, you don't see the lasers, but the lasers allow the ball to immediately fly. So you hit the ball and it immediately takes flight. It's not like one of those delays and then the ball goes. It gives you everything. Like, some things like TrackMan, or other devices will give you partial information. Like, they may give you club head speed, but they don't give you ball speed. They don't give you smash factor. They don't give you, this gives you everything from axis to club path to, everything. Like, there's not a piece of information missing. So you get a lot of data that you can use to improve your golf game. They have TVs everywhere, couches, 2 massage chairs, pool table, a whole bar area, and it's BYOB or whatever you want, bring your own soft drinks, whatever. They got a VIP bay where you could have get togethers, parties, fantasy football drafts. I'll probably do a fantasy football draft there. So a lot of cool stuff like that. So go check them out at theback9golf.com. Okay. That's the show. Appreciate everybody hopping on. Razorback NYC, I'm going to get back to your questions for the next show, or maybe I'll just answer them on the board or something. We'll see. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining me. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, and we will catch you next time.